Let us turn to the chapter we read in Matthew 6 and let us seek God's help as we read verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to focus with a few thoughts right on these words, deliver us from evil. This is a part of the Lord's Prayer here and is something that comes to mind, to my mind, as we read this chapter and as we listen again to the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. How many times have we read through this and how much we need the Lord? It is interesting how in his prayer he is suggesting and telling his people to pray with these words, to ask God to deliver us from evil. Now, I'd like to look at three aspects of what this prayer means. And first of all, deliver us from the evil one, meaning the devil. Also, to deliver us from the evil of sin. And also, to deliver us from evil, underlining the pronoun that Christ is using. He is saying, deliver us. So these three aspects of this prayer. Now, first of all, this is important to note, because Christ teaches us to pray God to deliver us from evil. You noticed at the beginning of the verse 13, is asking not to lead us into temptation, but before we get into mistakes, we are not to think that it is God leading us to temptation. As James clearly brings us to mind, I'll read for you the Apostle James' letter, chapter 1. James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and so forth, and so on. Now, it is not God who tempts us. It is Satan who does. It is our sin. So we may say, and when we pray this prayer, we are to have this in mind too, that the Lord may deliver us from the evil one. When we recall Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, when he was addressing these hypocrites, when he was speaking with these people who were unconverted, in John chapter 8, we read these words of Christ. He's pointing to them and saying, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Are those who are unconverted, these are those who are under the power of the devil one. Christ says, the devil is your father. And so, when we were unconverted, if you are unconverted, it is hard to say, to express this. But if you are not born again, you are under His control. That's what Christ says. The Father, your father is the devil. He is the liar. He is a liar. And he's not only speaking lies to you. He is the father of lies. If you are not in Christ, you are under the lusts of your father, the devil. Now, very often, this is a difficult subject. We cannot go so much deeper tonight, but there are often two extremes when we approach this subject of the devil, and usually these two extremes are these: people utterly neglected, utterly deny that the devil exists, or there are also people who are overly preoccupied with it, with this subject. And it is a help to read a quote here, what Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote regarding this. And I quote, "There is nothing which is quite so disastrous as not to accept in its fullness the biblical teaching concerning the devil. I am certain that one of the main causes of the ill state of the church today is the fact that the devil is being forgotten." That's very important for us as a church. And of course we do all believe that the devil is there. If you are in Christ, you know his influence. But let us take quite seriously this prayer that the Lord is suggesting and teaching us to be delivered from the evil one. We are never to forget that he is active, and that there are many Christians who today forget this. Let us pray. Do you pray this prayer, having in mind that Christ can deliver you from the evil one? He has fought the devil himself. He is the one who can deliver you from his snares and from his influence. And most of all, this is an important question: who is your master? Is it Christ or the devil? So not only this prayer is suggesting this, but also the second aspect is that Christ is praying here and teaching you to pray to be delivered from the evil of sin, which is in you. Now let us ask, what is sin? And most simply, sin is the transgression of the law. It is a transgression of the law of God. John will write this, the first epistle of John: whoever commits sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That is plainly what sin is. And if you look at your life, and if you realize your attitude, your ability towards the law, your ability to fulfill the law, there the conclusion is simple. Sin is an evil in you. Sin is also a walking away from God. It is everything which is contrary to God's will. And as a matter of fact, when you sin, you are rebelling against Him. Job, when he was describing this, he was giving the in chapter 15 of the book of Job, we read of the wicked one. And Job would write this by the Holy Spirit. The wicked stretches out his hand against God and strengthened himself against the Almighty. Don't you see this so clearly in the society around us? In people who are not only not interested in God or church, but plainly and openly strengthening themselves against the Almighty God. They are raising His hand against the Creator. That's the evil of sin. That's how far sin can bring men and women. Deliver us from evil. This is the Lord's prayer. This is His teaching to you and to us all. And if we want to add something else about sin and the evil of sin, sin is a transgression of His law, of God's law. Sin is an open rebellion to God. And sin is also an attitude of ingratitude to God. Every time you don't thank the Lord, you don't see and praise Him for the grace and the mercies in your life. Every time everyone is not returning to God thankfulness for common grace, it's an evil, it's a sin. It is an act of ingratitude toward God. Well, what is sin else apart from this? And this is more affecting Christians and believers like most of us here. Well, the evil of sin must be seen, and the Word of God tells us that it's not only a weakness. Sometimes we would like to think of just something like this, but it is a real pollution of your own soul and your whole being. Why, if not this? Paul would pray and encourage the Corinthians church with these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He has explained the gospel, the forgiveness of sins which are in Christ by grace alone. And so he says to them, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Sin for the Christian is not something that is just forgiven and done far away. It is a pollution that you notice day by day in your own heart and lives. And as a Christian, this is God's desire for you. This is God's command to you all. Let us cleanse ourselves. Your nature is polluted. And it is a pollution that it's not only in your heart, it's in your mind, it's in your conscience, it's in your whole, everything of your nature is defiled. This is what Titus writes in chapter 1, speaking about the past times when you were unconverted. He says, even the mind and the conscience is defiled. Now, as we think of sin for the Christian, are we not to say more about this? Because the evil that is that is described here is also something that we may say it is very shameful. It is not only a pollution that we are to acknowledge, but if we think of being born again, if we are sons and daughters of the Almighty One, when we sin, when we notice and realize sin in our lives, are we not to cover our faces and come before the Lord and realize how shameful this is? For example, Psalm 49 verse 20 gives us even a picture that when man is dragged away and degraded with sin, we read that man's honor is gone, is taken away. It makes him like a beast. It's not a shame for a beast to be a beast, somebody wrote. Not a shame for a beast to be a beast, but for a man to become like a beast, to leave sin degrading and polluting his life more and more. Well, brethren, if you notice some of this in your life, if you, although you are a born again Christian, you realize the evil of sin within your life, there's for you the Lord Jesus Christ remembering, encouraging to pray more and more these words, because He is ultimately the only one who can deliver you from this evil, from this slavery. How relevant this prayer is, not only for those outside, but especially for God's people. And lastly, that's exactly what we notice in the words of this prayer. You see, Christ says, pray this: Our Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is us. It is a community of Christians that are praying all together here. And the Lord is not addressing only personally each and every one of His people. He is telling and teaching them to pray with a plural here. That is important as well. It is us as a congregation that we are to pray the Lord to be delivered us, to be delivered from evil. Yes, sin is in so much of my life, but it is in God's people too. It is within the church as well. And when we think of the sin among God's people, it is much more grievous than when we look at it for the non-Christian, for those outside of the congregations. For example, when we think of, let's say, for example, I think of some of my neighbors who are not going to church, or I know of a family who is denying God's existence, and you see this family going to various local places and sin and live a life which is completely out of God's control, sinful life. Well, you can be sorry, you may be praying for these people, and you may be willing for them to realize what Christ has done. But let's imagine, I can see one of my daughters going along with this family, or living the same as these other children in that family are, will not my heart as a father be much more grieved and sorry, because she is my daughter, because she has been taught and lived with us, and she's acting not according to her family principles. And so is for the Christian. So is the sin within the Church of Christ, so much more offending and grieving your Father in heaven. When God's people sin, they are just despising the light that they have received. They have experienced the new birth. They have tasted that the Lord is good. They have known something of the sweetness of Christ and of His love. How can they sin? How can they live according to the world's principle? Let us pray more earnestly that the Lord may deliver us from evil. And that is exactly the reason why the whole of the New Testament is pressing on and pleading with believers like you and me to live a holy life, to depart from evil and do good. Psalm 34, we have sung this, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The Apostle Paul to the Romans will write, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let me conclude with a quotation that I found quite helpful. It is giving us the picture well, summarizing all this. And this quotation says this: he that falls into sin is a man. He that grieves at sin is a saint. He that boasts of sin is a devil. And he that forgives sin is God only. Let us remember the words of Christ with His tenderness and love, that as we pray to our Father in heaven to be delivered from evil, we may have this in mind, that Christ has delivered us from the devil. We are, yes, to continue and persevere in this prayer day by day, remembering that He is the one that can allow us to pray such prayer. The devil has been defeated. It is not of you and me to fight the devil, but we are to come close to our Father which is in heaven, because Christ has defeated the enemy. Christ has paid the price. And although sin is in you, you are praying and living day by day to see one day the presence of sin gone from your eyes.